didn't think that would be there, so.
Well, we do things a little bit differently these days, so.
Okay, conflict resolution. How many of you had conflict in the last 24 hours?
We don't have time to conflict.
So did you two have conflict this morning? No conflict?
We don't have time to have conflict.
What about back here? Did anybody have conflict this morning?
Yeah.
So the next question is, did the conflict get resolved? Well, we didn't have any conflict this morning. I just let her do it. No,
I was so busy packing that.
But you know, conflict is something that is real. You never know when conflict is going to emerge. You know, it just comes alive. Where did that come from? Well, I didn't know that you thought that way. And you know, we have a lot of different things, and so let's take a look here. Conflict. What are the steps? What are the steps? So here we go. Let's take a look here. A missionary couple, just a minute here. I've got a shoelace. There's a conflict with my shoelace. Okay. A missionary couple have worked hard for over a year without a real break or vacation. They are both tired, but the husband feels he needs to just keep going because there's so much to do. Okay. Now, let me ask you this question here. How many can identify with those two sentences? Oh, way in the back. You can identify with that? Okay. The wife believes they need a vacation. Sister Debbie believes that they need a vacation. Dr. Dave says, no, we must keep on going. We must keep on going, going, going.
Not these days. In the past, yes. Go ahead and use me as an example.
I'm just trying to make it real. Cause conflict. Okay.
Come on, sweetheart, we got work to do. So she believes
that they need a vacation. And they need to get completely away from the work. But they seemingly can't agree. And they both love Jesus. But sometimes they argue and they can't find that agreement. So, the question then is, what are the steps? What are the steps? Number one, identify the problem, right? So what is the problem? What is the problem?
This is a case study. That means you guys are...
No refreshing time. That's the problem, okay? We can say that. There's a lot of things to be done. Put the word things in quotes.
Okay? We're tired. The problem is they're tired.
Okay, the problem is that they're tired. Okay, this is good. This side is really active. There's a conflict over here. Okay. Tired. Somebody else, what's the problem?
A
No what?
No wife time.
No wife time. Okay, no wife time. And that's a good point. We have to identify the problem and not the symptom.
Not balance with the work and the family.
Okay, not balance with the work and family.
I know I missed one.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was, but I'm gonna try.
Is there one up there that's missing? Somebody?
Somebody said something.
Okay.
We need something from
him.
The husband accepts a lot of work. The husband accepts what?
A lot of
workload.
Workload. The husband accepts a lot of workload.
Okay.
Say a lot of yes.
We should have talked about saying no in balance, shouldn't we? How to say no.
Okay. Okay, what about over here? I know Daba.
For me, the problem is disagreement.
Is what?
Disagreement.
Oh, disagreement, okay.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, do you think we have identified the problem pretty good? How many would...
I said not balance, work.
Work. Work and balance.
Ministry and balance.
I thought you meant they didn't have enough word either. The Bible. That's what I was thinking when you said it. Sorry about that. Christy,
it's all work and...
No play.
No play and no worry.
I think we're running out of juice in these.
Okay. So how many of you would agree that the problem is disagreement? Raise your hand. One, two. Okay.
So she's saying the main problem is the idea they're having a disagreement. They don't agree.
How many of you would say that being tired is the main problem? Okay. How many of you would say there's no wife time as the main problem? Or how many would say that that's a symptom? I think it's a symptom, okay? So for the sake of this situation here, let's put it this way. The main problem is they're tired and disagreeable, okay? All the other ones,
they're
all part of it. But they're kind of like some of the symptoms. Okay, what's the context of the problem? The context of the problem. What is the context? What is the surrounding picture?
They're both in the ministry.
Okay, they're both in ministry.
What were you going to say, Chris? I think they have to find time to sit down and talk about it.
Okay.
But we want to know what the context is right now. Where is this situation happening?
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of ministry is the way I think you're putting it.
Okay, ministry, middle of ministry. Anybody else? What is the context of the problem? What?
They're busy.
They're busy, okay.
Okay. So
the context is busyness.
And Christy said they need to sit down, okay, so having a talk. So we could say needed talk and busy. When you look at context, you're kind of thinking of where is it happening?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, in the family it's happening.
Yeah, in the family. Good, good.
And what were you saying,
David?
I am causing stress within this classroom, right? Okay. So
and they're both
he say need? Need.
They need
one need to rest, one need to keep work.
Okay, that goes back to the problem. So I'm looking for the context. Where is this happening?
We don't know what country, but it's probably a foreign country if they're missionaries, right?
Yeah.
So we might look at it that way, too. So they're already in kind of a stressful foreign context, we might say.
So there's a foreign country, foreign language, different culture, different mindset, different worldview. That's the context of where this is all happening.
Okay. Which adds to why this can happen pretty easily. Because you get tired in all of that.
When I was learning language, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And by 8 o'clock in the evening, I was gone. I was tired.
Now, I'll disagree with him. He was tired, but he still kept studying. I'm the one that went to bed.
Oh, yeah, she's the one.
You stayed up, and I keep saying, I think you should stop. No, I have to know these words.
I didn't know the truth.
It is a story.
Dr. Weldon, confession is good for the soul.
I think he forgot. He was tired. That's
But I did get up really early in the morning because I really felt that I needed to really study the language. You see, when we first learned the first day of language, we had to go outside and ask 17 people. And here's what we had to say. Namasai Ila Weldon Hauger, Sayadari Yameda Kisirika, Ichusanja.
That's it. My name is Weldon Hauger. I'm from America. That's all I know.
And I had to do that for a bashful person. That was real hard just to walk up to 17 strangers. And so it made me tired. Now, I don't think did we have really that many disagreements?
No. I just thought he would stop. Because he was so tired. But I'll put it this way, so you don't see it in the wrong way. But my husband is a perfect person, pretty much.
Now she's meddling.
No. And so when we got to Indonesia, and things kind of started making him a little uptight and nervous, I said, "Praise the Lord, I'm married to a human being." I said, "Oh, he can get impatient. Oh, I am so glad to see that."
Debbie never had the idea that I was perfect.
So the main problem is being tired, disagreement, the context is within ministry. Okay.
But this adds an extra dimension to the problem.
They're within the ministry, within a foreign context. Okay? Now here's what we want to do. Each table, Benjamin, I want you to work with Mimi and Alan, okay? Each table is to come up with two possible answers. You guys are going to brainstorm for possible solutions on how to help this couple. How to really help Dr. Dave and Debbie, okay?
Just Dr. Dave, because Debbie's perfect.
Well, I at least know I have a fellow companion then, because I'm not perfect.
Okay, so each day I'm going to give you about 3-4 minutes. Come up with two possible solutions, okay? I'll shut up.
They should rest and they should if it is the same, they need to understand each other and help each other.
The thing is that how can the husband manage what to do? So. Is there a solution that How can we talk to the...
Because they have a disagreement, so...
Solution must commit to that, too. Because this is still our main problem, right? So we need to solve that, too. So what can we do?
I think maybe they may have plans for one day to talk.
Only talk?
Yes, I...
Because, you know, there are many things in the life is like that.
Yes, yes.
And he needs to pull out,
yes.
Right? And if that person is white, especially white or woman, they need to talk as
the difference is men is really focused on time. They will work, they will support. But women always like focus on caring, like emotion, caring. Yeah, they really want other people to take care of them. Or, so I think the woman, the wife, one husband care about her. The husband want to finish the work, finish the project.
Not necessary to take a lot of time for vacation, but just like sometimes go out, care, and use like one meal a day or let's say for the week to spend time together, just only wife and husband, and take care of each other, listen to their need.
Okay, let's come and get back together. Okay, we're going to start back here with Grace and Christy and Venus, not Mars. Okay, one idea from your group. What's one idea? Okay, to have more conversation with each other. Okay, more transparent, open, communication.
Open communication.
Open communication. Okay.
So if we can solve ourselves,
Okay, we'll just take the first part there, okay? I'm not saying that's wrong, but, you know. So let's take open conversation. Okay, right here. What's
your... I'm sick, counselor's advice.
Okay, see. Perfect. Okay.
They are both tired and don't think much.
Okay, see, counseling?
They're the
only ones going right now.
I only want one.
I mean, I just explained it.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's it. How are you going to explain?
I thought you had to give the reason why they need counselor. Because they are both tired and they can't think much. At least they will see at least someone seeing, we will mediate at the same time, seeing the will speak in behalf of the husband. Someone will speak also in behalf of the wife, and then at least because it's hard for them to listen to one another, maybe they can listen to those people that they look up to.
So what I also hear you saying is that when there are counselors, there is more objectivity. If there are no counselors, there's too much subjectivity. Something like that. Okay, right over here.
One of your ideas.
One of your ideas. Ooh, Julia.
So we think about Friday night. So yeah, we think like a woman also always like want a caring from husband, and husband always focus on the target of work. Uh-huh. So we think like not necessary for long vacation, but just like during the week spend like several hours together, go out,
okay.
Like yours.
We
talk. Yeah.
Let me explain something. What happened to Barb and I along this line here? When I was the principal of the AGBC school, you did well. This is a repeat. You really need to hear from me.
Hear from both sides.
But we, you know, Friday nights were real important. But we had a tendency to always talk about work. And so Barb and I made a pact that we would, when we were on our date on Friday night, we would we'd try to very level best never talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
get
easy,
yeah. So that's easier said than done.
I'll try some hours a week is kind of what you're saying.
No.
Maybe Wednesday night.
Okay. Benjamin, Alan, and Mimi, what's one idea?
The wife has put out some good points that we have to sit down and talk together and iron it out and go out for another one. Is agreed, they have to agree to go out for vacation.
Okay.
And number two is completely go away, as stated by wife, go away from the work.
Only one.
Go away from the work.
Work, yeah.
So
there's a conflict up here. So you need to take a break from the work.
Yes, completely go away from the work and not concentrate or talk about the work.
Okay, good. What did Jesus do? He often withdrew himself from the crowd, right? That's what Benjamin is saying. That's what this group is saying right here. That's very, very important, to withdraw yourself from the crowd or the ministry. There's nothing wrong with it. That's not sin. You're still called. You still have the ministry. Sometimes you need to pull back. Okay, let's go back over here to the Mars table. I mean the Venus table.
You have another one?
You have another suggestion?
It's different than what's been said.
You have another.
Okay.
It's already been said. Counseling, yeah. Okay, but that's better than
and, they can, planning and evaluation at least quarterly. And then they will be doing a lot of things, but they may not be effective. So they can improve on things and see how we have changed and set for a problem. Because maybe they are having a lot of pain. I mean, they are tired. Then they need to evaluate first. At the same time, they need to make a plan, a timetable. At the same time, in their planning, they also have a time for they will put a time for them. Okay, this is our time. And then if they agree, if these things pop up again, they will go back to their planning, I mean, their written agreement. And then, this is our plan. This is our, then at least they will be, because it's hard to hear one another when you are arguing. It's more good if you
have an evaluation. Okay, over here.
So we have one more idea, like some country, they don't, the husband will not help the wife with household work.
Okay.
Yeah, and the wife cannot do the, like, the husband work. So we think also, like, share the work.
Share the work.
To support each other in every work. Don't do it alone, and so can support each other.
Okay, Benjamin, now you got one more suggestion?
We said we wrote up 2 points. One is agree to go to a vacation, to a publication, and completely. Number two is completely go away, completely.
Emphasize.
For a period.
Yeah, for a period of time.
So you're saying vacation. They would actually decide to take the vacation,
yeah.
But they would agree with the woman.
Okay, I'm going to add mine up here. Okay, and my suggestion would be they need to come together and pray and read the Bible together.
That is mine.
Okay. And then
discuss. I want to say that.
Is there one or two other ideas out there that you would like to express?
Another one is they can have a role play game, change role from husband to wife, and vice versa. So they would know how to be in the shoes of the other.
My question is, how can I give birth to a baby?
That really is something that can be done in a lot of
situations.
Is to play the part of the other person and try to understand the feelings, and then maybe the guy will agree with the woman. No.
Well, and I'm sure Barbie's already told you this, but I like to cook.
No, I didn't tell them.
But I, at times when she's busy, okay, like when she's working on her dissertation, I would cook the meals. And I would plan the dinner or plan the lunch or whatever. So in a sense, we were reversing the role.
What someone was saying, share the workload.
Share the workload, yeah. Okay, now.
And you do that here, too.
So if we can go back to the next slide here. Next slide. So we brainstormed for possible solutions. Now we're going to identify the very best solution. Okay, so here are your solutions here. Which one? Okay, table one, then table two, table three in the back, table four. Each of you have to pick one solution. I'll give you 60 seconds to find out what the
we don't need the second. You already know your solution.
Okay, you already know. Okay, so.
Okay, but let each one come up with, from that list, pick one thing that you think would be the best solution.
Okay. Just give me a couple seconds here. I don't cause a disagreement amongst yourselves.
So you
you're looking at all of these and saying, what do you think might be the best solution to try?
Okay, you ready? Okay, table number one, what's your answer?
The answer is the thing that we used to do before. During our dating, we also have conflict and we did it. Like, we sit down and talk about the problem and pray together.
Okay, so
open
communication?
No, devotion together.
Devotion together.
Oh, okay. So you're saying this one along with just some good communication?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's table number one. Table number two, what's your answer?
We agree with the devotion together, but firstly, we have to seek God in the middle.
Seek God. Which isn't up here. So you're adding a dimension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my case, the devotion together is okay, but we didn't seek individually. It's very hard.
Okay. So table number two would be seek God first.
And then do the devotion.
And then do the devotion, okay? So table one, table two, very similar here. Table number three.
Agree and have
devotion
together.
Come
back to the
level.
Okay. So you're saying this one too?
Yeah.
So you're saying that one, okay. Table number four.
Devotion together with then planning and evaluation.
Okay.
So you're combining.
Yeah. Those with a written agreement.
Okay.
And the written God
So, can we all agree then on the fact that this couple needs to come together in prayer,
yes,
during a time of devotions, pray and seek the Lord, even hold each other's hands while they are praying, or putting their arms around each other, or whatever the case may be, so that there is that allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that couple together through prayer and also opening up their communication and having a time of evaluation.
Yeah.
Are we all in agreement with that?
Yes.
Okay, let's give that 1 week. We'll give this couple 1 week to work this out. Then, if that's not working, here's what you do. You come back to brainstorming. And you look at all the possible solutions up there. And you ask yourself the question, okay, this doesn't really quite work out too well. Maybe we should try something else. Then you identify the best solution again. And you give yourself one more week.
But with some of your really good ideas here.
Oh, they're very good ideas.
You could easily start with this, and then maybe say you would go to a Friday night meal, and then, going away and actually then taking a vacation, You work up to that might be what would be a way that it would work out. You'd start with that communication. But, then at least they'd have things they can look back and say, well, what should we do next? Or what should we add on here?
See, a lot of times what happens on the mission field with couples, and it doesn't make any difference what nationality you may be, is that, and Barb stressed this in one of her sessions, too often we give too much priority to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have that balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time to do ministry. There's a time to take care of the wife and the husband. And there's time to take care of the children. You need to balance it out. And when it gets out of balance, that's where the conflict starts. And so conflict, if you get a piece of dust in your eye, That's very irritating. You know how big a piece of dust is? You can't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sure feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And in your relationships, either colleague to colleague or husband to wife, wife to husband, when you feel the least, the littlest amount of irritation, that's the time to say, honey, we have a little bit of a problem. I can feel it. I can feel it in my eye. And that's the time that you need to come together and get rid of that irritation. Because if you don't get rid of the irritation, what's going to happen? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And the same thing works, like he mentioned, is the missionaries you work with, the group you're working with. If something's just kind of rubbing the wrong way for someone, instead of letting it get really bad, stop and say, could we really just talk about this? Let's pray together first, and then let's talk about it and go through this process. What is irritating you? What is the situation? And then sometimes it happens with your host country. So trying to catch these things before they become gigantic.
You see, God has called you to be a missionary in a particular country, right? And if you allow something human, an irritation or a conflict, that can ruin the whole call of God in your life. I'm not saying that you need to be perfect, but you need to say, Lord, help me. Now, there's one other thing that I would put up here on this list. And I talked about it the other day, yesterday. Listening. I need to listen to what my wife is saying. I need to listen to what my children are saying. My children, a few years ago, said, actually it was 2 or 3 years ago, well, Dad, we know that you have Parkinson's. Don't you think it's time to come home? Those were not just wasted words. Those were very important words. I remember a time when, and each couple has to determine what this is going to look like. But I remember one of our Indonesian missionaries, a wonderful couple. They were both very, very active in ministry. And they moved out to an outer island to help this particular Bible school. And she wasn't feeling all that well.
They'd already retired.
Basically, they'd already retired. And she wasn't feeling well, so they said that you need to go home and get yourself checked out. She checked into the hospital. They discovered she had cancer. The husband was called to come home. When the husband got there, he went to the hospital and only saw his wife for about 12 hours. She never got out of the hospital. She died.
But the problem was, too, her daughter that lived in America with
this is
grandkids
the problem, yeah.
kept saying, please come home. You've retired. You're already in your 70s, I think.
70s, yeah.
You know, please come home. I want my kids to know you, too. You've given Indonesia many years. Could you give us a little bit of time? And they never got that time. In fact, when Weldon called talk to them, he got the granddaughter. The daughter wasn't there. He got the granddaughter. And the granddaughter said, oh, I'm just so angry. And Weldon said, and he didn't know her at all. He goes, oh, why? And she said, because my mom is angry. I don't really know my grandma, but my mom is angry because she didn't come and be with us. So, you know, there was some issues that needed to be taken care of after that.
You see, in ministry, even in missions, there are different seasons. Ministry. You need to recognize what those seasons are. You know, Barb and I, we only have 26 days left to be under the Assembly of God World Mission. We are entering, just because we're retiring from ATWM, doesn't mean that we're retiring from ministry. But we are moving into a different season of ministry. What is it going to look like? I have not the clue. I don't have a clue. But you want to know what? I'm excited about it because God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with Barb yet. And so we move as the Holy Spirit directs. be afraid to follow Jesus. Amen? Good, that's a good sermon.
So did you look at what you were supposed to yesterday after class and think about your weaknesses and strengths as far as your balance? Did you do that? I'm getting the feeling that...
How are we going to solve this conflict?
They got an F. No. Okay. We'll maybe come back to that if we have time. But I also asked you, do you have any other questions before we go to our last topic? Do you have any other questions that you want to make sure we take time for today? Yes.
The problem that you saw before, like I see a similar problem, like one couple of missionary in other country, and the husband was like burn out, mm-hmm. but the wife is okay. But then after that, the husband doesn't want to talk to anyone. He's so tired because of the burnout and. He has a lot of workload and he doesn't want to do anything, even email or answer email or message or anything. So the wife also wanted to share the workload, and I think she also starts feeling tired. Mm. So it's similar to this problem. So what should they do?
But a lot worse, really, at that point. When one faces burnout, it takes a long time sometimes for that to ever to get back. Pardon? Yeah, it takes a long time to recover. Are they under a mission society?
Yeah.
See, that in a sense, that mission society should call them home and have them go into counseling and retreat is what probably should happen. You know, I don't know what the... Isn't that what you would say, honey?
And that is each mission society needs to have some kind of member care. Mm-hmm. Member care is a vital ministry of any mission society. And I thank the Lord that within the Assemblies of God, we have a couple of individuals that are very, very gifted in this area. I know we have I don't think it's called MRAP today, whatever. MRI. MRI, Missionary Resources. And it's a wonderful ministry to help missionaries to evaluate and to consider member care. When we got into mission, when we got into ministry, there wasn't really member care. Mm-hmm. And it's only been, say, like within the last 25 years that member care really came into this. And then Dr. Rozelle has done a great job.
It would be good to suggest to the wife that she lets it be known, like to the leadership of the situation. If he's just so completely doesn't want help, doesn't want to do anything on it, and then they would need to come as the leaders and talk to them and say, this is what we want you to do. And if he says no, in a sense, if they're under that leadership, they need to just say, yes, we can see you're at a dangerous point, and you may lose your life over this if you don't come and take time. And we're going to talk about burnout in just a little bit. So is there another question? But that is very good thing to think about, and that idea of making sure you have, and this is where sometimes people go without necessarily a covering. Always have someone you're accountable to. Mm-hmm. Always be under someone that's going, you are accountable to them to say, we're struggling with this, or tell them the good things too. But having that accountability where someone can say, how's it going? Are you doing okay?
Are you taking time for each other? Are you taking time for the Lord? Those type of things. So having someone accountable that you can be accountable to. Well, if you think of more questions, why don't you stand up and take just a little bit of a break? So is your goal to continue the college ministry, or are you going somewhere else? And that's Roberson. Then you want to do that? Go ahead. Oh, do you have any idea where you're thinking? So you have 4 more years to kind of pay back your education. And that's good. And that gives you time to listen to the Lord too. See what you're doing. Is Satna getting any closer to being able to come and do some? Or did she have to wait till you come back? Will she be able to come and do her MA?
I think she's going to come.
Right. Always hard to pull away for schooling. Yeah. Is she jealous? One of the things that we need to realize is that we always have choices. And we make bad choices and we make good choices. But when it comes to our topic of stress, we see stress or relax, refresh, and trust God. You know, we have a choice. We can allow ourselves to get so busy. I can tell you this, that ministry will always be able to consume you if you let it. Because there's always so much to do. And you'll never get it finished. But understand this, and I'll try to explain it in a different way too, but we're not indispensable. It means we are not so important that we're the only ones that can do the work. But sometimes missionaries act that way. Like they're the only one that can do it. So that's why they're so busy. But remember, busyness is not always accomplishing a lot. Because you can be real busy, but if you're tired and stressed, you're not accomplishing it in the best way. And, you know, the Bible talks about having a Sabbath. Do we honor that? And that's once a week. And remember that there are other people that can do some things too. We can learn to delegate. So we want to learn how to relax, refresh, and trust God instead of letting life stress us out. So, what makes up a person? There are different parts, you might say, in us. We have the physical body that we can all see. Then we have the psychological, which we can't really see into someone else's brain and what's really going on, what's the mental. We can be actually thinking way different than what it looks like from the outside from us. Then we have the emotions. And probably we could say statistically or research-wise that women are usually more emotional than men. passions and the feelings that they're having. And so instead of, you maybe don't know what's going on, you do have an idea of what's happening in their mind or in their emotions. Then we have the spiritual part. Remember, God created us in His image. So in His image means that we have that connection. There's something that was created in us to have a relationship with God. And that's why people go and they search for a relationship with a higher being. And when you find people that are saying something like that, then you can build that bridge and say, I know that higher being that can really connect with you. But we need that. That's an important part of us. There's also the relational social part. There's that interaction. Some people are much more introverted, quiet, reserved, can be by themselves, or the extrovert that needs people. So as we look at this, you can see two distinct people that would handle stress or need different things for stress, to relieve stress. An introvert usually wants to go and have alone time. Just let me have my own space, no noise. When we lived in Indonesia and there were so many people everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Sometimes Weldon and I would sit in our house and we'd go, oh, if we could just go to my dad's ranch and climb that hill out there, we could visualize it all. And we would just stand there. We would not see another human being anywhere, and we could listen to the silence. So you can tell what we are more. Some people get re-energized and get energy from being with people. What would you say most of you, would you get re-energized by being with people? Your husband, but not you, huh? Raise your hand again. Let me see. Who gets really... Okay. Now, who gets more energy and re-energized by being by yourself? Okay. So we got a mixed group here. We got mixed marriages here. But that's okay. We were teaching in Thailand and met a missionary couple. Well, we were with a missionary lady because she was taking courses. But she was saying that when they have their Sabbath and they take a Sabbath, a Saturday, I think, or no, Monday. I can't remember what day she said. But she says, her husband says, well, what are we going to do? And she says, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to stay home and I'm going to read and I'm going to have quiet and nothing else. And she says, he goes out for coffee with people and meets people and he's out there going away. But they found out what works for them, what energized them to be able to do the work, then come back and be able to do the ministry. So, you know, you have to find that. And that's kind of what we want to look at in this. So all of these, we see that we respond in different ways. So our makeup can be impacted differently, it should say, in different contexts. Something that maybe doesn't bother you at home in your own country could get really big and be a big problem for you in another country. So you don't know. You've been talking, I think, about culture shock. You don't know what's going to impact you and how it's going to impact you in another situation. And so then we will respond differently than maybe we would respond at home. Maybe at home we would respond and be like, oh, it's not a big problem. I can handle it. But in a different context, in a different country, it sometimes gets bigger than it felt at home. When we, in Indonesia, Weldon got really sick and ended up in the hospital. And I had to take him into the hospital and get him settled in. And
it's definitely a different hospital than what I was used to in America. And we'd been in Indonesia 2 years, and I had never really felt like I'd suffered culture shock because I knew God had called me to this country, and I was so excited to finally be there and so excited with all that was happening. And I just never dreamed what might impact me different. And as I watched, these nurses would come and sit in his hospital room, and they'd go, "Oh, Diyasaki, he is sick, he is so sick. He is sick, he is so sick." And they just did that. Time and time again, I'm like, I know he's sick. You know? I don't need you to sit here and tell me that. I didn't say that to him, but that's what I was getting ready to explode, I can tell you, after how many hours of that. And finally, I had had it. And I said, my husband, and I said all this in Indonesian to these nurses. I said, my husband is not dumb. He knows how to use a bell. And I was hitting the bell. And if he needs you, he will use the bell. So now you can all get out of his room and wait until he rings the bell. But they looked at me again and they go, "But he's sick. He's so sick. He's sick. He's so sick." I said, "All right. Out." "And don't come in unless you hear that bell." They went out. Weldon said all night they'd come and they'd peek in the door and they'd say, "Do you need anything, mister?" He'd say, "No, I don't." They'd go back out. But I just did not ever dream that would be what would make me lose it, so to speak. For 2 months after that, whenever an Indonesian would come up and put their face against the windshield or the car windows, because our windows are tinted, they can't see us unless they go like that. So then they would come up and they would go like that. And I'd say, "Lord, I am so tired of being everybody's television. I just want to say, get away from my car." And went to church, and I could handle church. But I went into a store and they'd say, they'd follow me everywhere I go, "Can I help you? Can I help you?" "No, I am just looking. No, I'm just looking." I'd have to say that about 20, 30 times, and I'm not exaggerating. Till 2 months after Weldon got out of the hospital, he took his life in his hands, because I was ready to, because he said to me, he said, "Oh, I think you must be ready to go back to America and live, right?" And I go, "No, why would you say that?" He goes, "Well, if you can't love the people we're working with, we might as well not be here." And I wanted to go. But I knew he was right. And then I knew I needed to do this and really ask the Lord to help me love the people again. And he did. But I didn't know what it is that would impact me. And I think you get into any context, any situation, you will not know what will be the hard thing for you. And so you need to always be in the Word, as we've talked about, and be close to Jesus. And when you see that irritation, as Weldon said earlier, or that anxiety arising, take care of it right then. Don't let it get bigger and bigger. Some of the most common stressors, and this is from Ms. Shelley Bowden's article, so you might want to make sure you know what these five are if you're doing it for credit, because you do have an exam coming up. So in her studies, and from this lady in the EMQ, she said that these were the five, or six, it's really six. This is supposed to be two. Sorry, there's six there. Language study, culture shock, discouragement, loneliness, burnout, as you were saying, and depression. Those are the six biggest stressors for people, according to this person. Now we're going to see a bigger list, but know these five, six, these six, please. This is, again, these are two. Language study, Weldon mentioned that. Culture shock, you've been talking about it, and I just told you a story. But sometimes discouragement sets in because you're not seeing the results you wanted. Who was it went to Myanmar, dear? And he was there 16 years before he had a convert. Adoniram Judson. 16 years before someone came to Jesus. Would you have kept going? So that's where this one can come in real easy. When people are so into their own religion, their own way of life, and they don't want to change. And yet, you know, God wants you there. And your mission organization is saying, tell us the numbers. How many converts have you had? How many are coming to church? How many are doing this? And they want these numbers. And you're going, I'm just making friends right now. I'm just building relationships. And so you can, if you're not careful, discouragement comes in. Loneliness. Singles, I think, can find that a real struggle because you need to find someone special that you can talk with and be friends with and have time with. Couples can also experience it, especially if the husband goes and travels and ministers and the wife is staying at home, maybe with the children. You need to be really careful and make sure, again, you come back and you have time and you see how the other one's doing. Burnout, where you've just gone so hard, so long, and you have nothing left to give. And you just are completely wiped out. There's nothing there. How can we minister if we allow ourselves to get to that point? Yes?
Some of them, I'm going to burn out for Jesus, you know? And it's actually quite selfish. Because the focus is on me. But having walked through burnout with Debbie, and she having walked through depression with me, I can tell you it is much better to live a balanced life and burn on, not burn out.
Yes, and we have to be careful that we keep in balance and we don't allow, we make sure we take the time, take those Sabbaths, take those times to get away from everything. And like we said in the balance idea, you know, get away from social media. Get away from a lot, anything that's giving you pressure. So, and then depression. Depression can set in, and if you don't handle it right away, it gets worse and worse and worse. So, remember these. But there, what I'm going to show you now is a lot of what I've... They mentioned this organization in America that's part of our Assemblies of God Missionary Fellowship, and it's the Ministry Resources International. Dr. Sally Khan came and did some teaching for me with some of my students in Northwest University, and I asked her if I could use her slides, and I didn't use her slides, I've used just parts, but it is adapted from her. She passed away this last year from brain cancer. After she has given a lot of good years to helping missionaries, but she's truly missed. But these are some of the, this is the list that she put together that can cause stress. Now that's quite a list. If you just, I'm not going to read all of those, but if you just look through those, started with depression and burnout, anxiety, all of these things. You need to ask yourself, what might be an area that I think would be a stressful thing for me? What would cause me to burn out? What would be some things? I could say, as far as if people ask me what's been probably the most stressful thing in missions was when our kids were still home, were still with us, and it was their education. Because... in some of the countries, there's not a school for them. And if they stay with you, you become their only environment. They don't learn how to relate with other people. They can relate with the national people, but
That's still not the same. And then if they go away to boarding school, there's a lot of ramifications from that in their emotions and in your own emotions. So I've gone through a lot of situations where the beds were absolutely not a bed or different than what I was used to. The restroom facilities were probably some of my, the CRs were, I can remember one that I used had insect bugs on every little space on all the walls. I walked into it. I was in a context in Vietnam. We'd gone up to Lao Cai, wasn't it? And it was all men, and you couldn't go off of the regular path because they had, if the land wasn't cleared, there were too many chances of bombs, right? Yeah, the landmines going off. So they said, always stay on cleared ground. So all the guys got out of the vehicle and used all the cleared ground. And I said, I can't go out there with them. And so I said, I'll just wait to the next village, and then maybe you could see if you could find a CR there for me. So, okay, got to the next village. And so one of the Vietnamese went in, and he said, oh, yeah, they said you can use the one out back here. So I went in there, and I'm not kidding you, there were bugs everywhere. It was solid bugs. I go, that's really fun. I'm glad I'm not afraid of them, so I was okay. But a lot of those things in a lot of different countries could be the problem. But for me, it was my children and the situations that they were in that made it harder. Our daughter faced a lot of things in a Muslim country. She was long blonde hair, more developed quicker than the Indonesians, and honest, the Muslim guys, they can't do anything to their own women, but they will bother. They think Americans, they've watched movies from America, and so their idea is that we're free for the taking. And she faced so many things with that that still has impacted her till today as 39 years old. And so, you know, some of those things, you think you've got it taken care of and you can handle it, but you never know. So there's all these options. It could be a situation you'll face. You never know. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to take care of it immediately, or are you going to let it grow? If we allow it, it can lead to premature attrition. That means giving up. It wears you away. You know how a mountainside erodes? gradually, until there's nothing left. And that can happen to us. It's like a slow destruction, weakening until gritty. If you don't take care of those things that stress you, that will happen. Now, Dr. Sally did it like this. There it is. We go into situations and our expectations are way up here. We think we've got it, you know. We'll be able to do what someone else can. And so they're up there. But then we end up with some unhealthy stress, burnout, and depression. And so, as she described it, we have a tank inside of us, and it starts getting empty. And the more unhealthy stress, the more burnout, the more depression, the more stressors, and if we go back to this one, the more things that stress us out, the emptier our tank gets. And if it gets down here, there's really not much left to us. You know, we're pretty much past burnout. So the idea of our energy tank going lower and lower is what we need to watch for. We need to stop letting that happen. So here's just some ways that she mentioned as psychological and emotional signs of burnout. So if you get in a situation and you feel like you're losing it, you're not the energy that you should have, you're not able to do some of the things that you thought you would be able to do,
It might be because of disillusionment. It's a lot different there than what you thought it would be. It's not turning out the way you thought, and so you're just like, this isn't what I thought missions was. Anger coming in, cynicism. You just kind of get cynical about everything that happens. Oh, yeah, this is what the usual, they'll never do this, or they'll never follow through, or they're always going to be late, or something. Being negative, you have a critical attitude, irritability, apathy, you just don't care anymore. Difficult concentrating, you begin to doubt yourself. I don't think I was really called. I'm just not, this is not for me. This isn't working. Even the decreased self-esteem. Guilt over not being perfect enough. Confusion. Even suicidal thinking. And I remember Dr. Sally saying to me one day when she was visiting me for the class, she said, you would be shocked at how many missionaries we talk to that have become suicidal. I was like, I can't believe that. She said, no, there are many. I don't remember statistics or anything, but a tremendous amount. Because they've let stress things build up. What is it for you? You have to find that out and make sure that doesn't keep happening for you. So these are some of the psychological and emotional signs. The physical signs of burnout can be back aches, neck aches, headaches, all these migraines, insomnia, can't sleep, loss of appetite. You know, sometimes I wish I'd have a little bit of that. I like to eat too much. Ulcers, high blood pressure, constant colds, and maybe it's a constant something. Digestive problems, allergies, heart attacks, strokes. A lot of these things can be because you have too much stress. You're allowing things to stress you too much. The spiritual signs of burnout are a decrease in spiritual disciplines. You don't take time for devotions. You don't take time for prayer. You're too busy. You say, oh, I'm doing it all the time as I prepare something. You know, you have excuses for not following through on devotional life. Increasing self-effort accompanied by egotism, meaning a gradually increasing feeling that God is powerless and that I myself just have to do it all. And sometimes people get that way. So I've got to do it all. Nobody else can do it like me. God isn't even really helping. I got to carry the load. And remember, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. And my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me and let me carry it. And we keep trudging along. Or we maybe feel like we're in a spiritual vacuum, believing that God has given up on us. So that spiritual life with God, our relationship with God, just begins to disappear. Depression. It's like a black, heavy cloud hanging over us. And it's some of what you described already. No motivation, no energy. Can't follow through with responsibilities. Can't concentrate. Maybe irritable about everything. Everything bothers you. Or you cry real easy. Now, I know you have to remember here at school sometime, the pressures get so much with all the assignments due. But there's times I think that a lot of students find the tears come pretty easy. That means it's time to go out and party for a little bit. Get away from those pressures and have some fun. Then come back and you'll be a lot better able to do the work. So it really is important to get away, to separate and do something different. Depression can happen in the lives of anyone. All ages, backgrounds, and ethnic groups. There's no one that you can say is exempt from the possibility of depression. Statistically, more women than men would have depression. But it's still there in both.
But it's not a sign of a weakness or a character flaw, she says. It is a medical condition. Depression is something that's real. It's something that is diagnosed as, in a sense, a disease, a problem. But sometimes we have a tendency to think, oh, there's something wrong with me. If I'm depressed, there must be some weakness in me. So we need to really be able to guard against that, because that adds to our depression. I'm just not good enough. Something's missing in me. Did you ever think about Paul being depressed? The scripture says, for even when we came into Macedonia, or we could say, for even when we came into the Philippines or to China or to wherever, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. Think about Paul and all they went through. Pretty good description. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So in other words, someone fresh, someone that could just come and be different for them to and minister to them and encourage them was what helped them with that idea of depression. So the people in the Bible aren't exempt either. Think of the Psalms and listen to David sometimes. I cry unto you morning and night. I'm always crying unto you and you're not hearing me. Kind of sounds like he had some depressing times. Some issues that were stressing him out. But he then would turn around and give praise to God. So symptoms of depression are persistent feelings of sadness, loss of interest in normal activities, disrupted sleeping or sleeping too much, changes in appetite, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, lack of energy or feeling tired all the time, feelings of worthlessness, not wanting to be with people, feeling restless, thoughts of death or suicide. So when you're with people and you see certain characteristics happening in their life, certain things, you might be able to speak into their life and say, are you struggling with depression? No. Or is this happening in your life? Could we pray together? Could we encourage? Could I encourage you? It can happen to you, but it could be happening to one of your coworkers. And you need to say, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the needs of those around me too, so that I can be an encourager like Barnabas was, the son of encouragement. You know, I think that would be a beautiful name to be considered an encourager. And that we need those people. So maybe that's your responsibility. Maybe that's your task, is to be an encourager. Or maybe you're experiencing some of these and you need someone to come and walk alongside you and encourage you. So whether you're single or married, we all need someone to encourage us and to see where we're at and say, you're worth it. Don't get down. Don't say you're not worth anything. You have value. So your energy tank, as we saw the tank earlier, it gets empty. I just picked up this picture. It says you shouldn't let your fuel gauge go below half. Well, we shouldn't let our energy level get below half either. We need our tank filling up. We need to make sure that we are adding. Unrealistic expectations can lower our tank. Unresolved issues, sometimes in our own backgrounds, in our family relationships, and our growing up years, still impact us and can cause our tank to go empty. Because when you say you had some abuse in your childhood that you didn't ever get taken care of and didn't get healing from that, and then you're in a situation and you feel like they're being abusive to you, that empties your tank really fast. Unhealthy relationships. If you are in a relationship with someone, and I don't mean just as in a male-female relationship, a coworker or someone in ministry that in the host country, and they are always taking out from you, you cannot continue in a close relationship with. You need people that pour into your life just as you pour into other people's life. Not someone that's draining you all the time. So unproductive coping skills. You don't know how to cope with it. So crowds can empty you. Aloneness can empty you. So depends on who you are. So these are things that can empty us. They lower our energy. Now you have a PowerPoint, so I'm not going to take time to look at all of these. But again, those expectations of self, of even the people that sent us, all of these kind of things. Unhealthy relationships, maybe in our family, back home, peers and friends, leadership, whoever. It could be the host country. There's not good relationships. Unresolved background issues, maybe of abuse, abandonment, addictions, unproductive life coping skills. You don't even really know how to manage your time. What we were saying earlier, we didn't learn how to say no. And really, I think that two-letter word can be the hardest one to use when you're in another country. Because they do have a lot of needs. There's a lot of things you can do. But you do have to learn to say, no, I can't fit anything else in right now. And they might say, oh, I'm sure you can. We really need you to come and do this. And you say, I really can't. You have to stand strong. And say, I will try another time, but right now I cannot. So learning to say no can be a real key. The spiritual disciplines are a part of the coping skills. Oh, that balanced living. These are things we need to be careful and work on. Burnout for depression prevention. Some of the things we've already mentioned. Keeping a Sabbath. Spiritual disciplines. Retreats. Even if it's just for a day, you go away out in the woods or to a cabin somewhere. Or whatever helps you. You know, family evenings at home. Time for personal, close relationships. Being healthy. These are things. Eating, nutrition, sleeping, rest. That appropriate balance. Conflict resolution. You know, sometimes my daughter will be so upset about something and she writes a text and she'll go on and she said, I just needed someone to vent to. I feel better now. And sometimes we do. We need to have someone that we can, in a sense, share our anger feelings or our frustrations with. And then, a lot of times, it helps us feel a little better. But we need to make sure we choose the right people to do that. And not taking it out on them. You're just explaining why you're so frustrated. A mentor, a coach, and I think you have some mentoring ideas coming up. And this is important. Accountability relationships, learning to say no, thought discipline. What do you allow yourself to think about? Are you living in the flesh or in the spirit? These are some of the things you need to think about. I know I'm going through them a little fast, but you have the notes. You can look back through it. When you start experiencing something, I encourage you, please keep these notes handy. And I think that they will be emailing them to you too, I think, so they would be in your computers that way. So, don't just think it'll never happen to me. I'm strong. My dad, I have a sister-in-law who has had a lot of depression and kind of a bipolar type thing, and she tried to commit suicide and stuff. My dad loved the Lord dearly, and he was a wonderful man, but he could never quite understand why she'd had that problem as a Christian. He just thought she should give it to the Lord and it would be taken care of. No, and it's not as simple as that. So we have to be careful how we talk to other people and help them in that. Help them find ways to prevent things. So I just want to give us some four ideas here. Or some ideas about what fills your tank. So we talked about all these things that empty our tank. So what is it that fills your tank? Think about that for a minute. Does being alone or space or being with others or a time of worship, listening to music, what helps fill your tank? I'd like to hear a few of your ideas. What fills your tank? I don't have good markers, so I can't write very well on the board. But yes?
Devotions.
Okay.
Just
spending time with the presence of God.
Well, that fills your tank. Yeah. Helps fill your tank.
Yeah.
Think about it for just a second. Give some ideas of what you think fills your tank. Christy.
First, but I would reword it so that it is present.
Okay. Maybe even just sitting in. Maybe listening to music with that, or just what? I don't know. But okay, soaking in his presence. That's a good way to put it.
Maybe I'm not this spiritual.
I was just going to say, now I'm not asking you to be spiritual with all your ideas. There's other things that fill our tank.
Yeah.
So thank you.
A few weeks ago when I was watching the movie at home, and then I had a really great time being alone, I really felt I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And I really thank for that time. Thank God for the time. So.
See, that filled your tank up so that you could go face some other responsibilities. So, yes, the devotion, soaking in Christ and in Him is great, but there are other things that fill our tanks too. What might be?
Basketball.
Basketball. So, going out and activity, physical activity.
And then what do you want to make that?
Yeah. But physical activity can really be, for some people, a real filler of their tanks. So, that's a good point. Imani, what would you say?
Thank you.
Oh, I think I'll visit you when you're here.
Thank you. Such a big.
And then eat it. Okay, good. Julia, what would you say fills your tank?
Travel.
Travel.
Travel to get away from it all.
Okay. Oh, in other words, getting away from what's pressuring you and
yeah.
doing something different.
And explore a new place.
Yeah.
And food and something like that.
Okay, an exploration of new places. I'm like that. I love to go to new places.
Yes.
My kids always said when I would go on a hike, I'd say, I have to see what's over this mountain. And they say, Mom, it's just going to be another mountain. But it might look different. I have to see it. So, what fills your take?
I do something new.
Something new?
Yes.
Okay. Try a new game or a new activity or a new
play.
Sharing. Sharing with
yes,
someone else.
Sharing.
In other words,
sharing what God said, what I'm feeling,
okay.
and everything inside of.
Okay, so
yeah,
being able
friends.
To express
yes.
yourself to
yeah.
other people and kind of get that out and hear it even. Sometimes I think hearing what we're feeling or what we're thankful
like,
for. And
like it. Not only I talk, we
yeah.
talk to each other.
Okay.
Like,
so hearing their experience,
yeah,
your
yeah,
experience,
like this, yeah,
and
it's
that fills
very
your tank. Useful. That's great. Then?
For me, last month, I just knew that there are collections that we had on in Yongsan Mission Center fills my tank because the stories other people, something like that. And that's the time that I want to be with other people, eat with them. And the next day we had a outing, which is swimming. That's the time I do want to have my time as well.
Okay. So hearing the good stories, the encouraging stories, but also the activity with these people that you have a relationship with. Okay, great. And you want to add anything, Christy? Okay, Mimi?
Playing sports.
Okay, like him. All right.
Alan?
Okay.
Being alone.
Reading in quiet time. I like that one, too. I like the adventure and exploring, but I also love to just go and have some time to read. That's refreshing. Benjamin. Okay, so worship fills your tank. And you could probably add to your list. There's probably several things that fill your tank. But that's what you need to concentrate on. For your Sabbath, what's going to fill your tank to renew for the next 6 days? That type of thing. Make sure you do it. Because it's important to keep filling our tank. Yes, time with the Lord, but a lot of other things do that too. It energizes us, and then we can go face the battle again. Because we are in a battle. and you get depleted and it goes down, your tank goes down, then you need those things that add enthusiasm, excitement, passion back. If you ever in your missions work and you just feel like, begin to feel that, I don't care anymore, it's just too much, it's just so many pressures, you need to immediately find what will fill your tank. So anytime a little bit of depression comes or a little bit of anxiety starts in, you might tell yourself, I think I need to refill my tank. So what am I going to do that? And go and find that and do it. Don Opalewski, I can't say his name, he talked about loving yourself. You know, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. And he's saying that that's one of the ways that can really help a person be able to refuel and fill their tank. He said, separate yourself from your work in ministry. Separate to time with the Lord. Separate from emails and texts, social media, or for whatever stresses you. What's stressing you? Find a way to separate from it for a time so that you can fill your tank and be refreshed. Use healthy self-talk. In other words, don't tear yourself down. Some people think that's a sign of humility. I don't think it is. Because remember, God created you. And it says you are fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139. And when you say, I'm not good enough, I'm not able, I can't do this or that, and we put ourselves down, in a sense, we're criticizing God. He created you, and he created you unique and special. So never put yourself down. That's what he's saying. You know, keep watch over yourselves in Acts 20:28. Keep watch over yourself. Be kind to yourself. Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Let's say it together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes that's what I have to even tell myself when I'm kind of feeling low and wondering, feeling like I fail, you know? No, God created me uniquely and specially for what I'm doing. And he's done the same for you. So that healthy self-talk, if you find yourself putting yourself down, say, no, I will not do that. God created me special. So know God's perspective, which we already just said that. And the second thing he said was manage your anger. Yes, you're going to get angry at things. Sometimes it's angry at the evil that's around you, like Jesus in the temple. But whatever irritates you and getting angry, stop and think, why is that happening? Is it because I'm tired? Is it because I'm, doing too many things that these things are making me angry? You know, find out why. If you have a rough day of ministry, it can lead to anger towards those we love. Manage it. Ask the Lord for help. Because sometimes when you're angry at people and things that you are working with, we come home and we take the anger out on the one we love. We take the anger out on our roommates, our friends, our family. When it's really something that happened over here that you're angry about. So be careful and manage it well and ask the Lord. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, right? Ask him to help you and not take it out on other people. Let's see, what did I hit? Protect yourself from abuse. Paul warned Timothy of someone that could do him harm. He said, you know, stay away from that person. Hold your ground in a positive way. Don't let people put you down or and let them abuse you with words or actions. So if you got unhealthy relationships, you need to separate from that. Be with healthy people. Fill your tank. Refuel emotionally. Laugh and enjoy people. Or enjoy your time away. Refuel spiritually, time with the Lord. Refuel physically with exercise, sleep, and play. Matthew 11, we mentioned this earlier. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, Jesus promised. So, here's just some more things about filling your tank. plan activities that fill you, refuel you. Plan whatever it is that will refuel you and help you be able to face other people. If you need help, though, be willing to get counseling. Be willing to go to a pastor. Be willing to go to a leader or a counselor. Don't say, I can do it. I'm okay. I can do it. I don't need the help. No, get help if you need it. And if you see someone else, like you're talking about these friends, help them somehow find a way to get help. Don't let them keep going down that road. Whoops, I want that last slide. Remember, you're the one that has choices. What refuels you? I can't tell you that, but you can determine that. Choose before it's too late. Find the right people, find the right activities, and find rest. Just let it pour in. The love of Jesus, the love of friends, the care of others. If you need help, let others help you. If you need help, acknowledge you need help. That's hard for me to do. I grew up independent and on a farm, ranch. I can do it. If my brothers can do it, I can do it. But I have to ask for help. I have to admit that when I need something. So be willing to do that. Do you have any questions on this? I know time is up. If you have a question, please ask. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Sometimes from my sales or especially some of the last question, we have already seen talks of depression, burnout, and these. The problem is they don't admit that, that it seems, because the problem they're already in the, or missionary, they're already in the so-called, the people that is looking up to them. That is kind of one of the pressure that some of the pastors or the missionary is a challenge. Because if they saw me, then my preaching to them is in vain. Yeah, something like that. How can we deal with that?
That's a really good question. Because people have to want help. They have to admit they need help. But it sounds that when you use these kind of examples, it's like their tank is so low that they can't even see they need to refuel. And this is maybe where you could talk to them and say, I know you're having some struggles, but I know it's hard when you have all these people looking to you for help and advice and everything. Ask them, what will refuel your tank? Do you need to come play basketball with me? Or, help them find an outlet. Maybe asking them out for coffee just to talk and visit. So maybe some effort on your part can help them where they aren't happen to say, I just really need help. But maybe you can encourage them to take a time away. Take time away.
In the context, mom, that they are in the mission field, that no one, but it's hard for them to. The first thing that they need, I think, they just admit first that they are really in that stage.
I think so, that takes the real, that's the real key for real help to happen, is they admit it. But I think we can help them by even finding things that will help refuel them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, if you invited him to go play basketball, if they'd like that, or go out for coffee and sit and visit, or, I'm going to take a hike, finding something that you think might be a good outlet for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe as you build that kind of relationship, they'll feel like they can at least talk to you or to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something you can say?
Well, one of my favorite missionaries is David Brainerd. He was a missionary to the Native Americans in the U.S.
U.S.
He only lived to be 29 years old. He literally burned himself out. He was a great missionary. He personally led, 20, 30 Native Americans you know, to the Lord. He died of TB and tuberculosis. And I've often wondered, you know, why did he have to die at such a young age? In your situation, when a minister or a missionary feels that the ministry is dependent upon me, those are the moments that, like Barb said here, those are the moments you will literally fall sick. And you, in a sense, and you end, say you end up dying like David Brainerd, you've actually taken yourself out of the ministry. You have to take a break. And what Barb is suggesting, you know, you see somebody like that, in a very nonchalant way, you would just say, hey, brother, hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee. You are actually saving that minister or that missionary.
That's what I was saying earlier, you know, observe.
Yeah, observe.
Listen, yeah. Have your ears open. Yeah. Hear someone that's giving a cry in a, maybe in a way that you haven't thought of, but maybe just something, sentence they say gives you a clue. They're getting close to burnout.
It's not that you have to say anything about what you observe. You know, find out what he likes to talk about or she likes to talk about. And just do something totally unrelated to ministry.
But it is so important for all of us to realize that we are not the ones that are doing the ministry anyway. It's Christ in us. And so we do not have to carry that load. We do not have to be the ones that are giving everything we've got. God, he created the earth, the world in 6 days and then took a Sabbath. I always think if God said he needed a day of rest, then we certainly do too. So we need to learn to have healthy attitudes and healthy way of life. Set that balance. Anyone else with a question?
Burned out, and because of the expectation of the people, they couldn't tell it to anyone, so they need a safe place and to get counsel and even to be healed emotionally, inner healing. And there are many missionaries who go out there to the mission field who still have issues in their souls and hearts and emotion that have not been dealt with.
And a lot of that background picture.
Yes, and then when they go out there, then that's when this sets in. So it's more devastating.
Mm-hmm. And we can end up hurting where we're at.
Yes.
And the people there more than help them. Mm-hmm. And that's where coming from, we maybe have learned to handle it in our own context,
yes.
But when we get in this other context where other things are like language study and culture shock and all of these things are impacting us, then it starts mounting and our tank empties a lot faster. So that's where we really need to take beware and keep refueling.
Try to remember this picture. When Christ called you to be a missionary or when Christ called you to be in ministry, he did not expect you to go alone. What he expects is that you will take the empty side of the yoke. You understand? You understand the picture?
Remember, my yoke is easy and the yoke that they put on the cows.
He expects you to take that empty side, and it will be you and Christ that will do the actual ministry.
I once read when they were training the cows or whatever to carry the yoke, that they had an unbalanced yoke, that the older cow carried the heavier side and the young one that's in training had a lighter side. But remember that Jesus is the one that's experienced. He has it all. He knows it all.
And he wants to carry that heavy side. But sometimes we're always, get out of the way, I need the heavy side. But he wants us to take that lighter side.
Our own experience and dear friends of ours that we've known as missionaries, I think most of us discover that we all have background issues in life. And no matter how you try to prepare to be a missionary, the Lord, in His graciousness, doesn't tell you everything at once, but things will come that. Problems will come, and then we'll have to face the fact that, oh yes, this reminds me of something in my past. Oh yes, I have this heavy yoke that doesn't come from God. So my feeling is missionary service is such a blessing. If I had stayed in my own country and my own culture, I never would have learned some of the things I've learned that have set me free, because Jesus is so wonderful. And doing the things that these people have said are just so important. We have to recognize we're human and we have problems. We're not the answer to the problem. We're beggars that can share bread with other people because Jesus is the
answer. So I hope my memory is fine. Find what fills your head and keep it filled up. Don't let it get below half, but keep letting it fill up. We'd like you to all stand, and let's make a big circle. We'd like to just pray. Okay, maybe we can make it to the center.
Our Father, we just simply thank you that you have brought us all together from various ministry contexts, from various countries. Lord, you are so powerful and you are so observant that you know each one of us in a very specific way. And Lord, you know how to take each one of us and the giftings that are there and amplify yourself through each of those giftings. Lord, I thank you for each one that is in this circle. I thank you for the gifts that are in this circle. I thank you, Lord, for the personalities. Lord, I know that you will use each and every one in a very specific way to grow your kingdom, whereby people will come to you because they see Christ in each one of us. Lord, I pray that you will always anoint each one with the powerful word of God. That you will anoint each one with the love of Christ. That you will anoint each one with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, that you will fill us all every day, each and every day, with the power of the Holy Spirit in order for us to reach the lost. You are coming so very quickly, and we must reach the lost. So, Lord, help us not to take on the ministry all by ourselves, but let us yoke ourselves with you in order to see your kingdom grow. In your precious name.
Amen. He has great things in store for us.
Thank you for the opportunity of just these 3 days of being with you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And if you're going to school here, we'll be back in September, so we'll see you again. So have a good rest of MTI.
Thank you.